3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our guy in Vegas, Todd Furman, with us now. You can get him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. If you ever have any Vegas-type specific game questions, you can hit him there. What's up, Todd?
What's going on, gentlemen? How was the trip to Destin?
We had a good time.
Yeah, great. It's hard, hard not to find fun in Sandestin.
My chest is itching, man. It's pilling, man. I got burned.
It's a little little different than Vegas, though. A little more family flair there.
That's what I was going to say. I imagine it's a little more family-oriented than this.
Although there was a day, was it Friday, when there was like 8 girls in bikinis funneling beer right in front of us on the beach?
Does Clay's reputation precede him when there's 8 girls funneling beer down there from Outkick to Coverage, and does he offer him full-time exclusive access if he lets him post for pictures?
Kind of surprised there was no story there. No investigation.
We were on air. I couldn't get down to the beach.
That is true.
Hey, Todd, NBA Finals coming up, obviously. Game one tomorrow night, Spurs and Heat. What kind of action is this series getting?
You know what, guys? You talk to everyone, and everyone will give you a different opinion on what to expect. If 10 days ago, the Heat were projected as a minus 270 favorite for this series, and that was from a sports book out here, William Hill. But when the number opened at every other book in town, they used minus 220, and a lot of that is the public perception, the changing image that this Heat team may struggle if it's only LeBron James against the talented Spurs front court, along with their backcourt. But I think what we're going to see here is an undervalued Miami team as far as the series price. Game one number, though, you're looking at the Miami Heat -5 with a total of 188.5.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at the series, big picture, because you really don't know what you're going to get from Dwayne Wade, right? I mean, he's had a what appears to be an injury-riddled postseason, but last time out, he was great.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's a big $100 million question. Is Dwayne Wade going to look like the same guy we saw in Game 7 that looked as explosive as he has in his prime, or will it be a guy that was a non-factor combining with Chris Bosh in Game 6 to go 4 of 19 from the floor for 15 points? If Wade plays at a high level, or even if he does for four games of the series, Bosh steps up and they get support contributions from the likes of Ray Allen, Mario Chalmers, and some of their bigs. I just think Miami has too many weapons, and I think the Spurs are going to be hard-pressed to get their offense going if the Heat lock down Tony Parker defensively.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas with us, at Todd Furman on Twitter.
Todd, big day for college football bettors. The Golden Nugget in Vegas is actually going to be releasing 250 games of the year lines to the public. And they've actually got 10 games out right now. I'm going to run through a few of these and just get your kind of early take on it. And the one I'm going to go to first is the biggest game most people are saying coming into the season, Alabama at A&M. Alabama opens -6 with a total of 54.5. Nearly a touchdown on the road. You think that number's going to stick? I'd be inclined to go A&M +6 here. What's your thoughts?
I think your sentiment is going to be pretty common amongst maybe some of the professionals, definitely the public, when you look at the Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel, and see how these teams played last year. I think this number will open at 6, and really believe as we get closer to game day, we're going to be looking at a number 4.5, maybe even in that 4 range. There's a couple intangibles there that make me scared to back A&M. Alabama will have a bye after their August 31st game against Virginia Tech. They're playing with revenge, and you don't have that LSU letdown factor you had working for Texas A&M a year ago when Alabama came in 7 days later after a very emotional game. I think this is a game that Alabama had circled on their calendar even more so than they did the national championship against Notre Dame.
And that kind of goes into my question here. I'm going to run through some other of these lines. These are the top 10 games according to Vegas. Bama has been favored in every game in Vegas since the SEC title game from 2009, I believe, the game where they made Tim Tebow cry. They actually won that one. They are favored by 17 over Virginia Tech in that game you just referenced. That'll be in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. They are favored by 11.5 over LSU in what has been kind of the game of the year the past couple of years. Big-time favorites there. And again, we just said favored by 6. I mean, they're going to be at least a touchdown favorite over everybody on the schedule with the exception of A&M, right?
That's the way it looks right now. A&M will be the only game on that schedule as things stand right now where they'll be less than a touchdown. Obviously, a potential national championship meeting with the likes of an Oregon, maybe that number is less than 7. But even right now, if you were to look at the futures board and project Alabama being the number one team on the board in terms of shortest odds against the number 2 in Ohio State, you're looking at Alabama probably a double-digit favorite yet again in the national championship. Just don't think Urban Meyer's team has the same level of depth that Nick Saban has built down there in Tuscaloosa over the last handful of years.
I want to hit this one, too. Georgia favored by 6 over LSU. LSU is going to Georgia. Georgia famous favored by 4 over Florida. Is Georgia going to be favored in every game in the 2013 regular season as well?
I think Georgia's perception is going to change quite a bit after week one when they go to Clemson to take on the Clemson Tigers. You look at what Georgia's doing defensively, a ton of question marks on that side of the ball, but when you have a quarterback like Aaron Murray, he's going to hide a lot of their shortcomings, both on the defensive side, special teams, and everywhere else. So if Georgia were to go into Clemson and put together a dominating effort against a much maligned Dabo Swinney defense, you're going to look at Georgia not only to be the front runner in the SEC East, but you're going to see that reflected in a lot of their point spreads. I was a little surprised myself to see Georgia 6 over LSU, but from talking to Tony Miller and his odds-making team at the Golden Nugget, they're not as high on LSU as a lot of people really believe this team, you know, outside of name alone, will be anything close to what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, with us on 3HL, talking early college football lines, NBA, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Todd, I'm going to ask a little bit about the NBA. I guess, you know, who is favored to win the MVP, and then that will lead down the road of who wins the series and how many games?
Right now, you're looking at LeBron James at a lot of the offshore books. He's available at 2-5, meaning if you want to bet LeBron James to win the MVP, it's actually a steeper price tag than it would be just to bet the Heat to win the series themselves. So it goes to show that if the Heat are going to find a way to win this thing, and even maybe in a losing effort, he probably has an inside track at being MVP, mainly because the Spurs, if they find a way to pull off the upset, have so many different guys that can beat you night in, night out. They won't need one guy to really step up and assert himself through the course of a 7-game series.
Right. Where does Parker line up on that issue? Though,
Parker's numbers for MVP, he was actually at 3-1, which has him the leader in the clubhouse for the Spurs. I expect that number to come down a little bit as we'll get closer to tip-off. Tim Duncan, longer odds, and I think a lot of that, you talk about Duncan not being on the floor nearly as much as Parker. Most likely, Tony will have to log 35 to 40 minutes a night and take advantage of the Heat's second unit when they give LeBron James a rest.
Well, I'm going to jump over to the NFL. I just saw DeMarcus Russell on TV, and it made me think about who would be the first person to be on a roster this year between DeMarcus Russell and Tim Tebow.
Well, DeMarcus, I know the Bears invited him into camp. He's going to have a chance to take some reps and work into their rotation at quarterback. Considering Tebow hasn't had any looks, you have to make DeMarcus Russell a short favorite, and you would have told me this a month or so ago, I would have laughed saying that he should have a leg up on the competition. But if the Bears are that desperate and that lean at that position, assuming DeMarcus doesn't eat himself out of the opportunity, he may actually be able to make the roster going into camp.
And here locally, Vanderbilt's baseball is doing really well. They play Louisville in the series this weekend. Were their odds winning this series and then making it to the national championship and winning all baseball?
This Vanderbilt team, not as dynamic as what we've seen in the past, but they're still a heavy favorite against Louisville for game one. You're looking at them as about a 260 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up $2.60 against the Cardinal. If you think Vandy wins the Super Regional and you don't want to get involved in the one-game setup, they're actually a minus 320 favorite. So a good chance, if the odds makers have their wish, Vanderbilt will be punching a ticket to Omaha this year.
Curveball, you ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
Who's favored to win the French?
Spoiler alert for those that DVR'd, semifinals are set.
Well, it should be awfully interesting to see. I think whoever comes out of the semifinal matchup between Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal will definitely be favored in the title. You look at the other side of the draw and Tsonga upsetting Roger Federer. David Ferrer plays his best on the surface. I think Ferrer might be a live dog, but Nadal, minus 160 in his semi against Djokovic, just speaks to his domination at Roland Garros and on the red clay.
I love Tsonga, though. He's absolutely huge.
And, he just shows up every now and then.
Yeah,
though.
I remember seeing him pop up in the Australian Open several years ago. And, I mean, he blasted Federer. So, yeah, we'll see. And then it looks like Serena's kind of rolling with Sharapova maybe in the finals.
Yeah, when you look at the semis prices, guys, to put in perspective the men versus the women, you don't have anything over a minus 160 favorite. If you want to bet Serena to win her semifinal matchup, you have to put up $1,350 just to make 100 coming back. So it would take a monumental upset for her not to be playing in the final there. Most likely, actually, I shouldn't say most likely. You look at Sharapova and Azarenka, that matchup is close to a pick'em.
Interesting. NHL, who's going to win?
Right now, the Penguins were the front runner coming in, but they look like they laid two eggs at home. I think Boston, even if they get a split against the Pens, finds a way to get a leg up. I don't think the Kings are dead yet. I picked the Kings to win the series in 6 against the Hawks. I think they find a way to win in 7. Be nice to have two teams on opposite coasts representing major media markets if it was Boston against L.A., although NHL, I'm sure, would love to see the star power that the Blackhawks and Penguins would bring to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Thank you, Todd. Good stuff, man.